On today's program, Andrew Womack will inspire you to reach out and take the healing that is yours in Jesus Christ. God wants you well, and that's the gospel truth. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. This is the end of my fourth week teaching on God Wants You Well, and I'm not near through. I've got a lot more to share about this. But I've been teaching that healing is a part of the atonement. Jesus showed us God's will perfectly, and He never put sickness on a person. He never failed to heal a person. There's a few instances where people wouldn't let Him minister healing to them, but He never put sickness on them. He never refused to heal them. And that shows us God's will perfectly. It's summarized in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, where it says how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power to went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. They were not oppressed from God. And so I've countered a lot of things. There's some people that teach that God doesn't heal today, that miracles have passed away. It's not for us. That's not true. There's some people that teach that God actually puts sickness on us. It's punishment, or it's a love gift to make you better and to humble you and break you. And all of those things will stop you from being well. And so we've countered all of that. And then last week and all of this week, I started talking about why isn't everyone healed? If it's God's will, why doesn't it happen? And it's because God's will doesn't automatically come to pass. We have to cooperate. And there's people that don't receive healing because they don't even believe that it's for them. That's going to stop them from receiving. There are some people who believe healing is for them, but they don't understand how to believe. They don't know what the Word of God says. And because of ignorance, they aren't receiving what is rightfully theirs. There's some that believe healing is for them. They have some revelation of the truth, and they still don't see healing come to pass. And I was using Matthew chapter 17 to talk about why people like that who believe and are acting on what has worked in the past, and yet they aren't seeing results this time. Why doesn't it work? And Jesus dealt with the same thing with His disciples. They were unable to cast the demon out of a boy who had some type of seizures like epilepsy. And they said, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said in Matthew 17:20, because of your unbelief, not because of your little faith, the way the NIV translates this. But it says it's because of your unbelief. And let me just make this point. I'm going to make a major point out of Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. Today, that's what I'm teaching on. Did you know that the NIV translation omits verse 21? It's not even in there. They go from verse 20 to verse 22. I don't know all the reasons for this, but I'm just telling you, this is a major mistake. What I'm going to share with you today, you can't find it in the NIV Bible. So I'm not against the NIV. I use it as a resource. But I tell you what, I'd get me a Bible that had all of the verses in it. Amen. Enough said. They said, why couldn't we cast them out? So Jesus said, it's because of your unbelief. Because if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you should say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it should remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And, you know, this week I have really tried to illustrate how that if you believe that God wants you well, if you have just the basic understanding about you have authority, that you can speak to your sickness, and if you have that much faith, a little mustard seed amount of faith, that's enough to see the dead raised, the blind eyes open, etc. It's not that you don't have faith. It's that unbelief negates, counterbalances our faith. I used some examples this week about how that I had done some things, grabbed a person out of a wheelchair and he fell on his face. And some people would say, well, you didn't believe. No, I did believe. That's why I did something that I would have never done in the natural. I was expecting miraculous results. But when the man fell on his face, I got fearful of what other people thought. I was thinking lawsuit. I was thinking failure, and that unbelief negated my faith and kept me from seeing the right thing. And I contrasted that with Smith Wigglesworth, who had a very similar thing, but he just stayed strong, and he only believed, and because of it, he saw the healing manifest itself. And so anyway, that's what verse 20 is illustrating. It's not the fact that you didn't have faith. It's the fact that you have all of this unbelief because most of us are too plugged into this natural world. You know, let me say something here that I'm not trying to be critical of doctors or nurses or any of these kind of things. But out of my experience dealing with groups of people, I have found it harder to get people with medical training to receive a healing than any other group. I mean, hands down. It just seems like they struggle. And you know why I believe it is? The people that I'm talking about, people who come to me who are doctors, nurses, etc., they believe that it's God's will to heal. They believe the things that I'm saying. They know. They are not antagonistic. These people are embracing what I'm saying, and yet they find it harder to receive a healing than most people. And the reason I believe that is because they have been so drilled, trained. They have put so much effort into hearing all of this other stuff that isn't necessarily sin or bad. It's just natural. They don't present it in balance. When you go through medical training, they don't tell you that when you see this, this means the person is going to die unless they're believers and unless they're trusting God and unless faith comes into the picture. See, they don't ever present it that way. They just say, when you see this, they're dead. They have a week, they have a month, they have whatever. And they are told these things that they aren't necessarily demonic. It's just natural things without taking God's power into account. And if you just listen to the natural without interpreting it, balancing it by all things are possible with God, then that becomes unbelief. They have been drilled in unbelief. They have been told that, no, they can't get over this. No, they'll never overcome this. No, the only way you can deal with this is this. And because of that, that unbelief hinders their faith. People who accept what I'm saying, who embrace the same values that I'm preaching, all of this medical training counterbalances that. Now, you can overcome it, but it just takes effort. It's actually easier to write on a slate that has never been written on than it is to have a slate that has just crammed full of stuff, and you have to go in and erase all of that and wipe that out before you start writing on it. And in a sense, people that have been really trained in some area, it's like they've already had things written on their heart that you've got to wipe that out before you can write the good things on there. And this doesn't only apply to people with medical training. This is all of us. We have been so immersed in this culture. Did you know previous generations didn't have the internet, radio, television, magazines, all of the things that are just, I mean, intruding into our life? There are so many people today with their cell phones. I mean, they never have a free moment. They leave that thing on. They don't ever sit down and just think on their own. They never are quiet to let God influence them. They are constantly being bombarded, not by God, but by this world system, fed every negative story, every negative things. It's negative news that sells. And we are being bombarded with natural stuff that some of it is ultimately demonic and evil, but a lot of it is just carnal. But it doesn't matter if it's carnal or evil. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It doesn't have to be total sin. It doesn't have to be total rejection of God. Just be carnal. Just be inundated with all of this natural, humanistic stuff that's being flowing through our world today, and I guarantee you it's going to provide unbelief that will counter your faith and keep you from believing. A tiny bit of faith is all you need to see great miracles, but it has to be pure. It can't be diluted or polluted with all of the unbelief of this world. So that's what Jesus was saying in Matthew 17, 20. And then he made this amazing statement in verse 21, the verse that isn't in some translations. But in verse 21, after he had said, it's your unbelief. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, it's enough to cast a mountain into the sea. Then in verse 21, he says, howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. So he had said a tiny bit of mustard seed, a mustard seed size amount of faith is enough to see these great miracles. And then he says, howbeit. That means even though that's true, even though it only takes a tiny bit of faith, this kind only goes out by prayer and fasting. Now that's quite a statement. And let me say this, first of all, that for years I read this thinking that this was talking about this kind of demon. the instance that they're talking about is a man who had a son who was demon-possessed, and this demon caused seizures. And for years, I thought that this was talking about that there are different strengths of demons, and that some demons you had to pray and fast and get other people to agree to be able to cast them out. But, you know, as I've grown in the Lord and I've realized that, man, we have authority over the devil, that he is a zero with the rim knocked off, and that he can't do anything to us without our consent and cooperation, I've come to realize that this isn't talking about that this kind of demon only goes out by prayer and fasting. There is no demon that you have ever or will ever encounter who the name of Jesus and faith in his name isn't enough. And if you needed something more, if you needed more than the name of Jesus and faith in his name to get that demon out, well, then you're dead in the water, because I guarantee you there's nothing you can add to that. This is not talking about that certain types of demons only come out by prayer and fasting. If you take the subject of the sentence, they said, why couldn't we cast him out? He says, it's because of your unbelief. Unbelief is the subject of the sentence. And this kind of what? This kind of unbelief only goes out through prayer and fasting. Now, see, that totally changes the whole thing. You don't pray and fast to give you more strength and authority over the devil. You've got authority over the devil through the name of Jesus and faith in his name, period. Prayer and fasting does not give you more clout with the devil. It doesn't gain you more access to God. What prayer and fasting does, it softens your heart towards God. And I'm going to explain this in more detail, but just summarize right here. Prayer and fasting both unplug you from the world and focus your attention upon God. And as you focus upon God, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Likewise, unbelief comes when you put your attention on the things of the world, and you can't have your attention split, not effectively. I'm always hearing people talking about, oh, they're multitaskers and they can do that. All multitasking means is that you do multiple things poorly. Amen. I know many of you aren't going to like me for that, but that's what I believe. Paul said, this one thing I do. If you really want to excel, if you want to reach your full potential in any area, you got to focus. The strength of a laser lies in the fact that it is all focused into one point. The people who go to the Olympics and win aren't people who do everything well. They are people who focus on one thing. If you are really going to excel, you've got to stay focused on one thing. And when you divert yourself, it's like taking light and diffusing it. And you lose the strength of the laser as you diffuse it. When you are multitasking, it just means that you do multiple things poorly. Amen. I know that many of you are really blessed by that, but I believe it. It is a scriptural principle that you only have one chance to reach your full potential. You can't do everything. You've got to focus on things. And so this is when you pray and fast, when you are praying, if it's true prayer, if it's not religious prayer, if you are really communing with God, you have shut out the world. You've cast all of your care over upon him. You aren't watching the television or listening to the radio or something, but when you are really praying, you are focused on God. You're in communion. You're listening to him. You're getting the positive life that comes from God, not the world's negativism and this death that is constantly being just crammed down our throat through the world system. If you are truly in prayer, you are focused on him. And by being focused on him, that means that you are not focused on the world. And so this inroad of this unbelief that comes into you that hinders your faith from working, it begins to be unplugged. It begins to dry up. The avenue that Satan had into your life diminishes, and your little mustard seed amount of faith becomes purer. I'm not sure it would be accurate to say it becomes bigger. I guess you could say it becomes stronger. I don't think that our faith just really, you know, we get more and more and more and more in faith all of the time. I think that we just have the measure of faith that was given to us, but we can purify it. We can get it stronger. It's like a tea. You know, if you put a tea bag in water And if you leave it in there, the longer you leave it in there, the stronger and the stronger that tea gets, because more and more of it gets into that water. And then if you pour water in it, then the weaker it gets because you're diluting it. You can make it stronger or weaker, but you know what? I believe that we were all given the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've got faith. You've got faith. But the problem is that we get so diluted because of all of these world's influence. And so when you pray, you are unplugged from the world. And again, I have to make a distinction that there is right and wrong praying. If all you're doing is going through some beads and repeating some words that you've memorized, and your mind never gets focused on God, and if you don't ever touch Him, and if you don't hear God speak to you, if there isn't a real connection made, well, then that's not true prayer. But when you truly pray and get your mind stayed on God, when you pray more than a second, when you spend 30 minutes or an hour praying and you get into the presence of God, it changes the way you think about everything. When you get into the presence of God, and I mean God Almighty is telling you that He loves you and you are feeling His pleasure, then when you go back out into the world and somebody counters you and tells you that they don't like you, they think you're weird, you know what? You'll respond totally different to it because you've just been in the presence of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He loves you. Who's anybody else to reject you? And it just changes things. So see, prayer and fasting, what it does, it's focusing your attention on God, and it allows the faith that you have to start being purified because it's no longer countered by all of the junk, the unbelief, the doubt, the fear, the hatred, the immorality, the perversion that is so prevalent in our world. Same thing happens, see, when you fast. When you fast, what you're doing is turning away from the natural realm, even the food that it is necessary that you need. And you are saying, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And you are focused upon God. And as you focus upon God, you know what? It's your faith just gets purified. It gets rid of all of this other stuff. For you to fast, if you are doing a godly fast, it's not just going without food, but it's going without food because you are so focused on God. You are seeking God so much with all of your heart that you aren't even going to eat. You're going to take the time that you would have been eating, and you are using that to seek the Lord and to pray and to study His Word. You can read the 58th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and it'll talk about what a godly fast is. And it's more than just going without food, but it's denying yourself. It's to put yourself down. And see, some people don't understand this. They hear somebody give a testimony about when they fasted that they had an angel appear and they got a vision and God gave them plans for the next 6 months of their lives. And so they hear this and they think, well, I think I'm going to go on a fast. And so they start fasting, and by noon the first day they're irritable. They're grouchy. They've got a headache. They're ticked off. They're carnal. They haven't seen an angel. They hadn't had a vision. They hadn't even had a goosebump. And they're saying, man, this isn't the 700 Club. This isn't PTL. I hadn't had anything good happen. And they give up and they say, this fasting is for the birds. There are some fasts where you may experience some supernatural things. But according to Isaiah 58 and other things, the purpose of a fast isn't to make you feel good or to have an angelic visitation. It's to deny this flesh that has been so dominated by the world and unbelief. And you're going to sit there and say, body, you are not going to control me. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. My senses, yeah, I'm not denying that I have senses and that I use them and God gave them to me, but they aren't going to control my life. My inner man, my heart is going to dominate me and not my flesh. And so you say, I'm going to fast. Because see, when you fast, your appetite is one of your strongest five senses that you have. People have killed other people for food. People have eaten other people, cannibalized because of hunger. Hunger is a strong force, and it's also one of your five senses that's the easiest to aggravate. There's a lot of us that can't go more than just hours without food. And if you went on a fast, by noon the first day, your body is hurting, your stomach's growling, you feel bad, and your body says, I'm going to die. The truth is, you aren't dying. You can go 40 days without food before your body begins to eat itself. 2 or 3 days without food is not bad at all. Now, you can't go more than 3 days without water without it beginning to really start doing damage to your body. 7 to 9 days, you'll die without water. So if you do fast, please get some materials about it and use wisdom, because I have seen some people do damage to themselves not understanding fasting. But the truth is, you aren't going to die after 1 day or 2 days without food if you're drinking water. But your body will make you think you are. And you know what it is? It's because your body has been in control. And here you are trying to let your spirit man control. So when you go on a fast and you deny yourself, your body will say, I'm dying. And you'll tell your body and say, body, I'm going to go 2 days without food. And your body will say, 2 days, I'll be dead for sure. And you'll say, 3 days. And your body will say, I can't go 3 days. And you'll say, 4 days. And all of a sudden, your body realizes that if I'm going to live through this, I better shut up. I better quit doing anything. And it'll submit and it'll learn that, you know what, I went 3 or 4 days without food and I didn't die. And you actually will cross a place to where hunger ceases to dominate you and drive you. After 3 or 4 days, you actually get to a place to where, you know, I'm not hungry anymore. Doesn't matter if I eat. And your body comes under control. And then when you say, body, lift your hands and bless the Lord, instead of your body thinking, what's everybody going to think about me? Because you have dominated it through a fast and have put it under, your body will say, how high did you want me to lift my hands? When you say pain, you are gone in the name of Jesus. Your body will say, well, I still feel pain. And you say, body, you get in line, and your body will say, oh yeah, I remember this fast. You know what? Yeah, pain, go, and it'll agree. And your body won't resist. And by you fasting and praying, it's a way of turning your attention away from the world where Satan is feeding you with all this fear and all of this doubt. You're turning it unto God if you do it correctly. There is religious fasting. There is religious prayer. But if you do it correctly, fasting and prayer is the only thing that will help you over this kind of unbelief. You know, I'm out of time today. I'm going to have to continue this on our programs next week. But next week, I'm going to begin to explain to you that there are different types of unbelief. Now, I don't have a scripture and a verse for this. You could call this andiology, but Jesus here said this kind, talking about unbelief. So he does say that there's different kinds. I've basically summarized it into 3 different types of unbelief, and I'm going to talk about how to deal with that. But this kind of unbelief that was evident in these disciples, where they couldn't cast the demon out of this boy, this kind of unbelief only came out by prayer and fasting. And I think that once you understand this, it'll help give you understanding about why isn't everyone healed. Now, this isn't all of the answers. I've got a lot more to share about this. But I tell you, I've shared some things during this week that if you were to understand and apply this in your life, it would make a huge difference in the results that you're wanting. Again, I confess to you that I don't understand everything. I'm still learning. There's some people around me who have been sick and who have died that I don't think that was God's will. Let me rephrase that. I know it wasn't God's will, but I don't, from everything I understand, we did what we knew. And according to my understanding, they shouldn't have died and they did. I'm still learning. But what I have learned is certainly working in my life. And I think that these things I've shared could help you. So listen as our announcer gives you some more information, and please call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, God Wants You Well, is available in a brand new book for a gift of $14 or more. Request book number T330 when you contact us. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T430. The entire series is also available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is available for a gift of $30 or more. Request item T1036C for the CDs or item T1036D for the DVDs. Or you can receive the book, study guide, and album as part of the Better Healthcare Package. The package includes your choice of either the CD or DVD series, the new God Wants You Well book, along with a companion study guide, plus Healing Journeys Volume 1 and Volume 2, and the Healing Scriptures CD. The entire package has a catalog value of $136, but today we'd like to offer it to you for a gift of $100 or more. To get the Better Healthcare Package, request item T4505. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The third teaching in the God Wants You Well CD series titled, Why Isn't Everyone Healed? Is available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I know that many of you have been touched today and you realize that you have allowed something in your life thinking that this was God doing it or permitting it, and now you realize that you don't have to put up with it, that you've been redeemed from it. And maybe you've received this truth and yet you don't know exactly how to get from where you are to where you need to be. I'd like to encourage you to get these products. And as you call to get the products, also ask one of our prayer ministers to pray with you. We have some powerful people. Matter of fact, some of the people that are on our Healing Journeys volumes are answering the phones. People that have had miraculous healings, and they can pray with you and they can help you to receive. So we have the number on your screen. Please call today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar May 13th through the 15th and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp May 28th through the 31st. He'll also be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Summer Family Bible Conference June 28th through July 2nd and in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a Gospel Truth Seminar July 15th through the 17th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis more than 20 years ago.
I started getting this bad stomach pain that happened every time I ate something.
She said that the cheekbones were flattened. The nose bone was not visible at all. The pinky fingers on both hands, the third digit, the was missing from the pinky.
I decided that I was going to run from God and I was never going to let anybody have that much control to hurt me that much ever again.
His ribs were busted, his sternum was busted. One hip was crushed and the femur was broken real close.
And the nurse had told my wife later, says people younger would die.
You do not have to motivate God to heal. God wants to heal more than you want to be healed.
God Wants You Well continues next week on Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack.